The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
TBS, America's number one independent television network, presents the following sports exclusive.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And this is Andy, and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
First show of 2021, boys.
Hooray.
Everything's better now, right?
I would maybe have believed that things were better, but this past Sunday, we were denied a chance at greatness.
Oh, my God. The Eagles.
What a weird thing that was.
Yeah. You know what, though? It was funny because I think a lot of the broadcast networks kind of were on the same wavelength as us, as like kind of wanting this to happen, and they kept like showing Giants players' reactions to this, and people were harping on the Eagles for quitting in that game or trying to tank or whatever. On the other hand, as I thought about it a little bit more, I started to side with people on the other side of it, saying like, "What are you guys complaining about?" The Giants were 6-10.
That exactly. They were 6-10. This was our chance at a 6-10.
I know, but what I mean is, it's fun. It's a funny meme for us to complain about it, but for the Giants players to be like, "Oh, the Eagles just quitting." It's like, maybe if you had just won another game, then you wouldn't be able to complain about this. But I like it.
The only sports entity in the world that focused so much on the NFC East all season. And they owed it to us to do this. There's
no yes, no.
Is there for the day.
Agreed.
On the other hand, though, is this not the most NFC East thing to them to have done?
Yeah, it was totally straight out of the ignominious tournament of disgrace. It was like right there. And nope, sorry. But yeah, so now the 32s are in, which is – who are they playing? The Bucks, right?
Yeah. Top of the Bay.
Ugly. But then again – you never know. We saw it with the Seahawks a few years ago. They won a game when they were 7-9. I think the
Seahawks did. The Panthers did.
Panthers went 7-8-1 and won a playoff game. And I don't know.
Although,
though.
In the Panthers' case, they were playing a Cardinals team that started like John Skelton. So I don't know if that counts.
I think it was. We talked about this a few weeks back. Somebody said it wasn't John Skelton, but it might as well have been.
It might have been Drew Stanton. It was.
I think it was Ryan Longley. Does that sound right? Or
maybe that's right too. It was one of the
one of the Cardinals' extra quarterbacks.
Look, here's the thing: they were all three the same guy. That's simple as that.
They might as well have been.
It didn't matter. Change the name, still the same guy. It makes no difference. But one thing, and Andy's not as happy about this as we are, but we're all in the playoffs, guys. So that's something.
Yeah,
I wanted to actually bring that up because you know it segues nicely into our shared uniform interests. The two longest playoff droughts going into the season were the Bucks and the Browns.
Mm.
Both of them ditched their bullshit Nike uniforms and basically went back to the good uniforms everyone liked. And both made the playoffs. So
Didn't Buffalo finally make the playoffs after they ditched their bad uniform?
Yeah, they did that. Yeah. So
they won the division for the first time forever.
So Jets, get rid of your stupid uniforms as soon as possible, and maybe you too can make the playoffs again. So
take note, New York Jets.
Adam Gase is fired, so that was fun.
Yeah, that's about the most shocking news we've had all season, isn't it?
Let me pull up the list of guys that are.
Well, while you're doing that, I want to congratulate Andy for the greatest GIF ever as a reaction to a playoff, making the playoffs.
I was trying to be cheerful, and I was like, "Hey, all of our teams made the playoffs," and Andy's just.
Because it's like it. You know, I just watched my team once again get eviscerated and humiliated in front of a national audience, more or less, by the great Satan, Aaron Rodgers. And it's, you know, this is just my life. This is just my life now. We're dealing with that asshole and my shitty, underwhelming team. And, you know, how do you celebrate when circumstances play out
right
to where, you know, my team, a most undeserving team, gets into the playoffs? And, I mean, you know, as they say, anything can happen. It's the playoffs. It's you're 0-0. That's your record. It's a new beginning. No, it's not. My team is the same. It's the same underwhelming, injured, mediocre team with a bad quarterback that it was last week and has been all season. And they're going to get their ass kicked by the Saints, more or less.
But they got into the playoffs as a matter of circumstance, not necessarily by their own.
It was a gift. It was absolutely a gift. They didn't earn it. They shouldn't take any pride in it. They shouldn't have T-shirts or.
They shouldn't have it.
But I did love the gift that you put up. It was Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump. When they were celebrating New Year's Eve. I was like, that is so perfect.
See, Andy, this is why they need you as the coach, right? Because, you'd go in, after the game, it's like, oh, we made the playoffs. You're like, don't be proud of this. Don't celebrate. No, I don't want to see any smiles.
you're not the 6-10 Giants here. You don't have anything to celebrate. The Giants celebrating would have been fantastic. But yeah, it is funny to me that they're complaining about it. It's like none of those teams in that division have a right to complain.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. No matter who fucking, lost out or got in, nobody had the right. Although what I find funny was the idea that, had the Cowboys won, their game, mm-hmm. then they would have been the ones who would have been eliminated by Washington winning.
Okay.
And yeah. So it's like, could you imagine if everything everything on Sunday night happened as it did, but instead of the Giants, losing out, it was the Cowboys. Can you imagine the shit show Jerry Jones would have raised?
Oh, well. And of course, the minute that this happened and we had another 7-9 division champ, all the talk starts, we have to fix this. And this is the first.
No, we don't.
It's an outlier. When was the last time this happened? Was it 2012? Maybe before that even.
I think 2011.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that it has happened more times in the last 10 years than it has in the last, the 50 before that. Because the only other times that they could go back to on these graphics for sub 500 playoff entries was the strike season in 90 whatever.
81.
Yeah, and so what was it? The Browns and the Lions both made it at 4-5 that year.
Yeah, that was during the Paul McDonald era.
Right, and so it's that's not the same thing as a division champ, which had never happened until the Seahawks did it. And since that Seahawks team, this is now the third time. So I think that's the only reason that people.
I know we've had a couple 8-8 because I know the Browns won the division at 8-8 in 85. I don't remember. I think there's been a couple others since then.
The year that the 11-win Patriots made it into or didn't make it into the playoffs is the same year that the Chargers won the division at 8-8.
Yeah, so, when the Browns did it, I think the 11-5 Broncos didn't make the playoffs that year.
Yeah, it's not unprecedented. It's not something that the system needs to be fixed.
Be better football teams in that division. That's the answer.
Yeah, there's no. I feel like people are looking way too hard for causation or something, or what correlates to make these 7-9 division winners happen. And
it's just trying to do this.
Yeah, I would say it's not necessarily a negative outcome. If you win the division, you have a bad record, then more power to you. It's just how the cookie crumbled. But speaking of crumbling, minor breaking news, the smallest of breaking news, sad to report that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are getting a divorce.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I really thought they'd go the distance. I really did.
A nation mourns tonight here.
Heart, Giants fans. It could have been worse.
But the 7-9 stuff is overblown. Whether it was 7-9, 6-10 would have been good for the memes. That's about the maximum.
Yeah, it'd be funny.
The thing is, though, if a 7-9 and 6-10 team were to win a championship, on the other hand, that's when you have problems. That's when you have a real question of what what happened, like what series of events confluence to create a team that was greatly substandard and will have a top, you know, top 10 pick in the draft, yet will raise the Lombardi Trophy. Like, how the hell did that happen? That's a very like baseball or hockey streak to occur, which just doesn't happen in football. You know,
we've had happen in football isn't that. We've had the wild card teams win, but those are teams that are usually like winning their way into the playoffs at the end of the year and then carrying that hot streak in. Well, and that's a completely different animal, and not a bad thing either. I think that people are just see this thing that is an aberration, and it's bad football, and it's teams that are more popular than the records deserve to be in the NFC East. And so we get a little hot under the collar about it, and then, you know, people forget about it by the time the ball's kicked off on Saturday afternoon.
Remember that streak? It was a few years back where it was like a wild card team was winning, it seemed like, every year. Like it was the Packers, and I forget the Steelers.
Steelers, the Giants,
So that was, I mean, just weird stuff. It's everything cyclical in all sports. It's just, next year we might have, you know, every division winner is like 12-4 or better. You just don't know, you know, with the scheduling and everything. But speaking of my Cleveland Browns, finally, they did everything they could to blow that game. You're like, oh, wow, the Cards actually fell our way for once. Well, except not really.
Now everyone has COVID.
Now everyone has COVID, and that's that. So. How perfectly Cleveland.
I know. It's like you finally make the play. First off, you're playing the Steelers backups, and they damn near
screwed up. Yeah.
They damn near screwed up. Then they do make the playoffs, and they have to play the Steelers again, and then they get COVID again.
Yeah,
like a bad – like what they're starting – what their starting guard had like – was it their head coach can't be in the vicinity, right? Yep. They let me see. There was something. Their starting guard is out.
Joe, I can't. Was it Batine? I can't remember how you say his name. Batinio or something like that. He's a really good player. He's like their best offensive lineman. Played 99.9% of the offensive snap this year.
Yeah, he's been there. He's a 3-time Pro Bowler. Has been his entire 7-year career has been in Cleveland. 5 different head coaches. 6 losing seasons. They make the playoffs, and he has COVID.
Yeah.
So it's a. It's a bit. It's a romantic Cleveland. Typical this bullshit.
Insert Cleveland rocks here.
I think it's probably they're going to lose. I mean, I knew when they had the Steelers as the next, like when they drew the Steelers in the playoffs, I thought, well, that's that. But yeah. I don't know that, you know, anybody thought they were going to really go far in the playoffs anyway. And baby steps, you got there, and you had a. This is the best record they've had since 1994. So, the original Browns, but this is clearly the Browns 2.0. This is by far and away their best record, 11-5. So they're probably gonna lose next week. But so what? That doesn't mean the season was a disaster or anything. Or maybe I'm just rationalizing. Maybe it's gonna be every bit the disaster that it's supposed to be. I don't know.
The Steelers haven't exactly been tearing up the world down the stretch either. So it's nothing's impossible, but certainly they've stacked a deck against themselves by. I hate when this happens, when you end up playing the same team 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I do too. They used to not allow that. Regardless of seeding, they wouldn't let you do it. It was like, no, we can't do that. But then
I wanted to ask that because we used to do it in baseball, and they got rid of it with kind of the weird thing they had this year. I don't know if they're going to fix that going forward or not. But I think this is something that we should try to avoid, shouldn't it? Like, I know it's different because it's all done by seedings as opposed to baseball where it's just slots that you can move around.
I want to say that they added – that they changed it when they added the second wild card team because it used to be you could have seasons where a team could go 12-4 and end up playing the number 2 seed because the other matchup would have been an interdivisional matchup and they didn't want that. That wasn't allowed. But now it's anything goes. I mean, this is just like last time. The Browns made the playoffs in 2002 or whatever year it was. They get in. And they have to play the Steelers. And all I keep thinking is, well, where's Tommy Maddox now? Because we're going to need him again.
Man, I remember watching. I was visiting a friend's house, and that game was on in the living room. I'm pretty sure it was snowing.
Yep.
And I just remember being like, oh, cool, the Browns are in the playoffs. That's pretty neat. And, I haven't felt that feeling in many, many years.
Do you remember how that game went? The Browns were just kicking the shit out of the Steelers for 3 quarters. And then Tommy Maddox, of all people.
Ex XFL MVP, reigning XFL MVP. I'll have you know, Tommy Maddox.
Are you alive? Let's see what Tommy Maddox is doing these days.
He just lit the Browns up, and they ended up losing, I think, 36-33 or 33-31. I don't remember the final score, but it was the Browns were all over them for two-thirds of that game.
That was one of those – I have vague memories of that game. I think I was watching hockey that day, but I remember being like, oh, the Browns blew a lead.
Well, you know, I didn't – that game bothers me more than the drive or the fumble because neither one of those games, like in the drive game, that was a really closely fought game all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens. The fumble, that was would have been a tying score in this remarkable comeback. Okay, mm-hmm. Fine. Stuff happens. This was like you gave up like a 20-point lead. That to me is the worst kind of loss.
To the me. XFL MVP.
Yeah, that made it even worse. But to do it in that fashion, I would rather just, you know, either get killed or lose.
So what's Tommy Maddox up to, Andy? Because it sounds Tommy, like
– Well, no, I'm not laughing at Tommy. So Tommy Maddox
he's
is –
the third-string quarterback for the Steelers, Mike.
They brought him back.
He's in Texas. He's the baseball coach for the Decatur High School, and their team name is the Worms.
Oh wow!
Do you think he shows off his XFL championship ring to the kids?
I was going to say he's Mayor Bible Gun in some city in Texas somewhere.
He's Mayor Bible Gun.
So I'm pretty sure the Decatur Worms have finished last. Quite a bit lately, so yeah, he's the apparently. I don't know if he still is. I assume he is, but anyway, well, that's what Tommy Maddox is doing.
Got to come off the bench and help your boys out there, I guess.
Yeah, 49-year-old Tommy Maddox taking the mound for the Decatur Worms. but
so Zach, your Rams. While we're talking about all of our teams here,
oh God, that was the opening of that game was absolute. Goddamn chaos.
Speaking of alternative football leagues, some AAF action. Yeah.
Some AAF, some CFL action in that game.
We got some AAF versus CFL action. Like, who says that, you know?
Is there any better kind of football than that, really?
The Cardinals open with Kyler Murray, and they drive down the field. And then on a fourth down, Kyler Murray gets sacked, rolls up on his ankle. He's out. So the Rams get the ball. And John Walford of the Arizona Hotshots of the CF or the AAF, the all-time passing touchdown leader of the AAF, I'll have you know, a guy that played football at Wake Forest, and because he had no pro prospects of any true note, he has a LinkedIn page as a financial advisor. Look it up. it's out there. He steps up in his first play is a very nervous pitch that he almost threw out of the back of the end zone. And then the second play was an interception that was damn near a pick six. And then on the other side, the Cardinals come back out. And who's there? But that's not Kyler Murray. That's Chris Stuveler of the
Winnipeg Blue Bombers Grey Cup champions. I'll have you know. Yeah.
Wow. Which comes with some great imagery of him in a fur coat with no shirt and the Grey Cup over his head.
Yeah. Oh
my God. pretty good stuff. He scores. He runs it a touchdown, but that was it. And really, that was like so much chaos in like a two-minute span. But then things kind of sorted themselves out, and Kyler Murray kept trying to come out. The CFL guy is not good at all, and – Once the jitters got out of him, Walford, it's not bad. He can throw a decent ball, but
I think you mean the Wolf of Ball Street.
That's right.
Oh my!
Nice. Yeah, I love John Walford. He'd been described as like a junior Kyler Murray type, and while certainly not that, his throwing ability is okay. But the fact that like the Rams had a mobile quarterback for a week was kind of interesting.
The AAF's answer to Kyler Murray.
He was able to kind of run the ball and run some option, and he did enough. He did fine. He didn't make any major mistakes the rest of the way. I after that first pick, you're just anticipating the absolute worst. But he held himself well, and you know did enough to get the Rams a couple field goals, and the defense got the pick six at the end of the first half, and that was it. So was kind of a mess of a game that I don't know if anybody really deserved to win, but the Rams did enough.
No, I kind of lived in I lived and died with the group with you during the game, just to kind of like I was, because it was becoming very clear that the Bears were going to just get just stomped by the Packers. So
I believe, like, as you said, get smacked by Aaron Rodgers' thundercock.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds correct.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And it was funny because on the other side, Andy, like, as soon as I realized that, oh, the Bears are going to get their shit kicked in, I started to not care as much about what the Rams were doing because it didn't matter. Like, they were going to make it in one way or the other.
Right.
You know, if the Bears lost. And if they lost to the Cardinals, like, if Kyler Murray came in with some dramatic thing, it wouldn't affect me one way or the other because I'm still going to make it.
Sure.
And now we're in a spot where it's like, well, they're doing the whole dangling Jared Goff out there. Like, oh, he might play, but maybe we'll play Wofford. I don't know. Playing for two QBs, sort of nonsense that coaches do. So
thanks to your Rams, I get the privilege of watching the Bears this Sunday play on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
You're going to have the slime and everything. It's going to be I'm looking forward to it. Here we go.
It's an alternative broadcast, right? They're still having the CBS broadcast, but this is.
I'm going to tune into Nickelodeon just to see what it's like.
So this is like the Nickelodeon, like, whatever buzz reel for what it's going to look like, I guess, with some weird graphics. You got slime on the ball and goofy bullshit. Like,
well, those are Devontae Adams' real eyes, actually. There,
I don't know how much of this is they haven't really been necessarily terribly clear about how much, like, there's some, like, fake slime and stuff like that. I think there's going to be some just goofy little bullshit like that in replays.
I like the SpongeBob in the field goal, the uprights.
You know, I am absolutely watching this broadcast. That is the only way I want to see this game now.
No, you're right, Andy. Like, seeing that, I don't know how they implement some of that stuff in real time. Like, that's intricate.
Yeah, so it says it'll have a special slime-filled presentation of the game. One-of-a-kind kid-focused content and Nickelodeon-themed elements, including a special halftime presentation, original on-field graphics, virtual filters, and more.
Well, the graphic part's easy, Zach. There are these things that are called I'll never remember the name of them now. You just build those, and then you key them in, and they just play like a regular clip would. It's like a PNG file, basically, except for television. And it's like an animated GIF PNG file that you just throw on over the screen, and that's how you do it. It's real simple.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure it'll be, like, interesting to watch. I'm not going to watch it on Nickelodeon, A, because I don't have cable, and B, you actually might be able to watch it without cable. I think they have it on online.
I'm all over that.
I'm watching this on Nickelodeon. This is going to be amazing.
Well, you guys enjoy it on Nickelodeon. I don't want to watch, like, Trubisky get picked like six times, and they'll like slime dumped on his head. You know. Watching Drew Brees just stomp the fucking Bears.
You don't want them to put little, like, SpongeBob inserts around Matt Nagy.
I have a question. What is it about Mike and I that we just love everything to be shot all to hell like this? Like,
I don't know.
We were throwing the hardest of the 6-10 champion. We want the Nickelodeon broadcast. CFL quarterbacks makes us happy.
I'm just fully on board with chaos. Give me chaos. I want
some people just like to watch the world burn, I guess. That's sure. Us.
I don't, you know, I find nothing that's fine. And if I didn't have a horse in the race, I would totally back chaos, because chaos is generally entertaining. But because it's the Bears, you know, I can only, my dignity is already going to be, like, minced. I don't need to have, like, googly eyes on Khalil Mack after he gets, you know, doesn't draw a holding call or something, you know. Like, Or have, you know, Drew Brees' touchdown pass have a slime trail behind it or something. You know, it's just not for me. But what, there's Colts and Bills on Saturday. Zach will be following that with Rams and Seahawks. That is going to be a very stressful game, Zach. I don't envy you for that.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with it because I know the Rams match up so well against the Seahawks.
Plus, you hate the shit out of Russell Wilson.
I hate the shit out of Russell Wilson.
And by the way, I wanted to tell you guys, before you continue, Zach, I wanted to tell you that I finally get it with Russell Wilson.
Thank you.
I saw a commercial of his, and there was something just so smug and entitled about him, and, like,
Manga
you're
doctor.
Phony as shit. Yep. And yep. I thought it, something clicked in my brain where I was like, oh, I hate that fucking guy now. And it just made it all made sense. So I
hope one of he's, us. One
he's
of
the most
us.
Inauthentic person I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it's the worst, but I'll be able to channel that into that.
If he pulled that Go Hawks thing in front of me, I'd probably punch him right in the fucking face. I would. I'd be like, you know what? No, I can't do this. No.
But
he's just such a phony. I just can't stand that.
We sort of hit on what what do we want to call that? The Houston Texans Bowl.
The Houston Texans Bowl.
The Saturday afternoon game. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the AFC South. The Colts taking on Buffalo, and that's probably right.
Buffalo's kind of getting screwed in this though because they're pretty good, and they're I know they don't have Buffalo. They're not a big market, and they're not going to draw huge ratings, but they'd be worthy of a better spot than that. But I can see it. Yeah, yeah. You got to have the AFC South in there, right?
Well, like you know, you would think that like. The worst team, like the lull team that is the Washington's either go in there, but they're playing Tom Brady, so you can't do that.
Right.
You can't put Rams Seahawks because that's a West Coast game. Can't have it played that early. So, you know, you put it in the afternoon. I like Brown Steelers, but the Steelers.
I can't believe that got the Sunday night game. I cannot believe that.
I think they're begging on the Steelers audience, like, and maybe the. The first time in forever Cleveland playoff audience as like a ratings.
Well, there's a lot of Browns fans out there, but that Steeler crew, that's like Ohio State fans, except more annoying, if you can believe it.
And then the only other one that I would say is the one that got the Sunday version of this with the Tennessee-Baltimore.
Yeah, so. That's fine.
It's different because there's three games each day, so it's not the same sort of.
Well, and you know what, too? Fans don't really care. Where I mean, if they could have put the Browns in the AFC or the Texans game, I'd have been fine with it. I'm a little surprised they made the Sunday night game, but okay, we'll take that too. We don't care. You know,
I think it's pretty cool. It's cool to have. To me, I prefer my football played in the daytime. So if I was a fan of any of those early teams, I would be very pleased with that. I mean, I'm rooting for the Bills for selfish reasons, namely because I just want to see. And I guess Cleveland too would qualify. I want to see a playoff game that takes place in just a shit show of a blizzard. Like I feel like it's been a long time since we've seen the last. What was it? Was it the Patriots Raiders game where Brady? Yeah. Was it the penalty? The fake tuck penalty? Rule. The Tuck Rule game that was in a blizzard, wasn't it?
Like, yeah. I feel like
it was. We're ripe for a new blizzard game with some nonsense occurring in it. That's my take, but.
I still think the kicks that Adam Vinatieri made in that game were just you got to put the guy in the Hall of Fame just for those two kicks, right? Because that was amazing that he was able to nail field goals in like a foot of snow. But I will contend to this day, they made up the tuck rule on the spot just because they were like, fuck the Raiders. This is a new rule.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys this because I remember I remember watching it. I was at my grandma's house, and as I saw it happen. As they came back from review and everything, and like I agree with you, Greg, they just made it up on the spot. Somebody made the decision to just say, fuck this, the Raiders, fuck this nonsense. We need patriotism after 9/11. Let them win. And it was one of those moments where I felt it in like my guts, even as a younger guy, that this is a turning point for a great many things, in maybe not necessarily in a good way. Have you guys felt that about anything with sports, like in the past maybe 10, 15 years?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like what? Give me some examples of like what's happened where it's like, whoa, this is changing something. This is a big moment, a keystone moment.
I still to this day I won't say that the NFL is rigged because I just don't think it is. But that convinced me, that moment convinced me that certain teams are going to get certain calls all the time.
But this was before they were, you know, the Patriots, right?
Right, so. But you've got to remember the history that Al Davis had with the National Football League. And I don't remember who was commissioner, I think Tagliabue then, but the point is that the NFL does not like – the NFL offices do not like the Oakland, L.A., Oakland, Las Vegas Raiders. And it was – I just felt like, wow, this is just, you know, make up a rule on the spot just to screw Al Davis. And I to this day, I think that's what happened. But in defense of the National Football League, someone did a – I think it was NFL Films did a thing about it. And they went back and showed that that rule was actually called like 5 weeks earlier. And I think the Bills were involved in that one where they actually called the Tuck rule. But I, you know what? They made it up in the Bills game just so they could use it against the Raiders. That's the way I feel about it. But no, it was definitely a turning point. I mean, the Raiders were like on the ascent at that point, you know, and then,
what was that? The 20 years of darkness that got us.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but I think Andy brought up a good point that, you know, there are worse narratives to have than the Patriots winning the Super Bowl in the year of 9/11.
Yeah.
And it just, you don't want to believe in that stuff. And I don't think I really do.
No, it felt too good to be true. And it looks it looks very conspiratorial from the perspective of years later where, you know, the Patriots basically became football god for, you know, whatever many years. But I have a turning point moment I want to proffer to you gentlemen. And it is it makes me very sad. But I do feel like we absolutely need to discuss this. So turning point for me, it just happened today. It made my gut drop or my heart drop to read it. Yes.
Oh boy.
The NHL.
Oh,
Dad.
They say it's for 1 year. They will have the divisions, the four divisions of the league sponsored. The North by Scotia, the West by Honda, the Central by Discover, and the East with the indignity of being the Mass Mutual NHL East Division. They say it's for 1 year. I don't buy it. I think it's
I don't buy it either. It's for the same reason I don't buy that the ads are only for 1 year. Like, you don't open revenue stream and then close it, right? Like,
you never put the genie never gets put back in the bottle, guys. Never happens.
My thought is who cares?
No, Zach. No,
it's the divisions. Who cares?
This is good. This is bad. Like, this is the first step to, you know, the Stanley Cup presented by you know.
No. Look, I do fear of the helmet ad being more than 1 year because I think that's something a little bit more permanent. And I think that's something that, I mean, we've been training that way for a long time. The divisions thing, well, first off, these divisions aren't even going to be the same divisions next year. So, like, they're going to have to rejigger all that stuff.
Also, I have complaints I want to register. How is it that Honda isn't sponsoring the East? They're the ones of the Islanders. Like, come on.
I got it.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Like, come on, guys. Like, this is.
I do have a question though regarding these divisions because of the current situation with Canada and the U.S.
Yeah.
Does this guarantee that a Canadian team will make the Stanley Cup final, or could we see that change as we get?
It guarantees a Canadian team will make the final four.
Okay.
That's it.
So how is it going to
work? Four divisions. What they're going to do is, you play only your division during the regular season. You play only your division in the first two rounds of the playoffs. Okay. And then the true – like, this will be – if you really want to have the argument later in the year about division champion banners, this is a year to actually do that probably.
Because this is probably the one of the few times where a division championship is actually a division
literally,
championship.
Literally. Yeah. You're playing – you will play only your own division until – what would be the conference finals, but now they're just going to be
I am going to say that some of these divisions make more sense than the regular ones. Like,
oh yeah, no, these divisions are fine. The
East Division makes a hell of a lot more. Like, the Central Division makes sense. The two Florida teams are kind of meh, but it works. Yeah. Like,
Florida teams are always going to be separated from everybody else. So
in terms of. Oh, okay. Now, never mind. Sorry, because as I'm reading this, I just got pissed off all over again.
yeah.
Okay, so the Central Division, right, sponsored by Discover. Mm-hmm. Now, the Discover logo has, like, an orange sun for the O, and the Central Division logo is just so happens to be orange. So now I'm pissed off all over again because they have now specifically tailored this to...
Like... I thought I would be more annoyed at this myself, and I'm just not. Like, because I don't – anything regarding these divisions is so impermanent that, it'll move on. And, again, where do you even think about the division logos anywhere other than
when
they've used them in the All-Star game occasionally?
I think the argument, though, Zach, is that it sets a precedent like the helmet stickers do, the ads on the helmets.
Correct.
And, I don't believe that once you have set that precedent that you go back.
How is this any different than the BCS championship presented by Nissan?
Well, no. It's not any different than that, but we don't want to see that crap in the NHL,
I don't know if you guys remember when they first started like adding sponsor names to bowl games, people were flipping out. Like I've always been of the notion that, look, if you want to get sponsorship money, that's fine as long as you pass the savings along to the fans. Well, they've never done that. You can't get a $10 ticket to a Browns game because, you know, First Energy sponsors that stadium, which I think is bullshit. But if you want to make it like a NASCAR race, that meant $5 tickets for everybody, I'm all for it. But they're not going to do that.
There's no fans in the stands. Like, the NHL, of all the leagues, is going to be the one that's hit the hardest by lack of revenue this year. And this, like, if this is a way to do that this year, and everyone externally, internally, they're all saying that this in particular, the division thing, is for 1 year. I don't believe it for a second when it comes to the helmet logos, because I know those are going to stick. But especially with these, because these divisions aren't permanent, they will change when we have next season.
Sure.
I don't put any stock in this sticking around.
I'm cool with the idea that they need to raise revenue because they're going to have no fans.
Sure.
And of all the big four, the NHL is by far the most fan-driven when it comes to revenue.
Sure, and I'm not trying to denounce the effort to recoup some funds for what's obviously going to be a very trying financial situation for them. It's as you said, Greg. It's just like this is the door is being opened for testing. You can hear my dogs are livid about this whole situation.
Right, my cat's not too happy. He's not saying it.
So what I'm thinking is that the NHL is 20 trophies, and these will all have corporate logos on them within 10 years, including the Stanley Cup. It'll have a giant. It's going to happen. And
they're not going to put the logo on the trophy. They might say it's the Stanley Cup presentation presented by
Tim Hortons. It has to be, right?
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the presentation or the NHL playoff sponsored by this. Those are always sponsored. Those are inevitably sponsored. I'm talking about the President's Trophy with a giant fucking Toyota logo on it that is it's going to be sitting in somebody's office or whatever. If
there's one thing that the NHL holds sacred, it is its trophies.
Keep in mind that Gary Bettman did try to change the names of the trophies years ago.
The Lord Visa Cup.
Well done, Gary.
All this sacred posturing and, holding these things up to on a pedestal, that's good for now. And probably in the Stanley Cup, more than likely will remain safe. But everything else, as soon as that extra money comes in and the league starts going like, holy shit, why didn't we do this years ago?
Right.
It's here to stay. And there's no going back from that. And maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe there's a lot of people who just don't care. A lot of fans have been, from what I've been reading online, have been saying, like, well, I've been watching soccer for years, and this is just how soccer is. Yeah, I don't know why you guys are so sensitive to it.
So who gives a fuck about soccer? I mean, I don't care.
Well, it's a conditioning
literally
thing.
Literally the rest of the world, Greg.
What's that?
Literally the rest of the world.
Well, fuck the rest of the world. I don't care about them either.
I feel like there's certain things you just don't put advertisements on. And the NBA is doing it, and it's already been, like, readily approved through there, and the fans don't seem to give a shit. It hasn't affected sales, I'm sure. And if anything, it's just free money for these leagues to do this. And, they'll do it. The NHL will totally do it. The NFL, they don't need it right now. But when they do,
whenever
that day comes.
When the NFL is not going to let a revenue stream that would be as lucrative to them as advertising on uniforms and maybe a helmet sticker would be, they're not going to let that sit there.
Well, the NFL doesn't need it.
They need it. There's a lot of things they don't need.
No, but the NFL has done – the NFL and hockey are actually kind of similar in this particular regard. The NHL started putting ads on practice uniforms. I don't know how many years ago now. And they still have it. And the NFL hadn't, and then they started doing that after the NHL did. But that's the extent that it's gone.
Right.
I don't know. I think a helmet sticker is one thing, and I think that's serviceable. I am surprised.
Sure.
I just don't. I just really don't think this division thing is going to go further than where it is.
Don't the European hockey leagues have advertisements all over their jerseys?
Oh, the European leagues are even
but
worse.
But the thing that we need to keep in mind about the European leagues is that it's not like the European leagues got to where they were overnight. Like, you can go back and watch old highlights from European ice hockey. Like, the ads started small, you know, just a little ad here or there. And then eventually it ballooned into the ridiculousness that we have today.
Yeah, look at that. I mean, I get that in NASCAR because there is no other way to make money as a NASCAR team than sponsorship. And that's just racing. It's that the F1, IndyCar, NASCAR, drag racing, you name it. So that's fine. I have no problem with that. But this is just ridiculous.
That's the problem, right? Like
Jimmy Johnson's fire suit doesn't have that many ads.
NHL isn't going to go to this overnight. But once you start that creep, you know.
But we've said this before. Like, hell, look how long it took MLS to finally cave in to do sponsorships. Like, when the MLS started, they tried to keep the same European jersey design. But instead of putting an ad on the front, they just put like the team name, like the word mark.
Then they put ads on the back, didn't they? Like, that was.
I mean, eventually, but what I mean by that is they were appealing to American sensibilities, and that's something that MLS kind of. I know that sounds strange that you shouldn't appeal to American sensibilities in America, but that was one of the follies that MLS had early, was they did a lot of stuff like that. But anyway, that's just. That sort of thing, the European hockey jersey look, or even European soccer or European basketball or whatever, that's just not the American aesthetic for sports. And if you did it like you do it in Europe, it's no big deal. They do it all the time. You do it here, you're going to have more pushback. And like a helmet sticker in the middle of a pandemic when you need some dollars in pocket isn't the same thing as – when everything's normal and you start throwing a Honda logo.
Are they going to just, is the helmet sticker going to go away when the pandemic's over?
Yeah.
No, I think the helmet sticker is a small enough thing where it's not intrusive.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. The helmet sticker doesn't bother me.
Same.
At all, really, to be honest.
Yeah, the helmet sticker is again, I think as long as in the NBA has been kind of mediocre to bad about this, I feel like if you must absolutely have tiny advertisements on your uniforms or whatever, your helmets, you need to make them blend in to where they stand out a little, but that they match the color scheme or something. Like, as long as they're not distracting and they follow the color palette of the theme.
But here's the thing, though, that the corporate sponsors don't want that, because if it blends into the rest of the uniform, then that defeats the purpose of the sponsorship. Like, if you're Ford, right?
Then fuck the whole thing. That's what I'm saying.
It's like, all these half measures where it's like, oh, well, what if they do it where it blends in? Or what if, it's just a helmet sticker? It's like, well, one, it doesn't stay just a helmet sticker. And two, it's not going to blend in because the advertisers want their logos to be seen.
Here's a North American example that is kind of tied into current events and whatnot. Tonight is the U.S. World Junior Hockey Championships, where the United States will take on Canada. Fuck Canada.
I'm gonna go out of the box here. Go Canada. I want you to win.
Okay.
I don't care.
But in the World Juniors, like, these are – it's a North American – I mean, yes, it's an international tournament, but the powers are the U.S. and Canada. They kind of run these things as it goes. And they have advertisements on their helmets and jerseys. It's a little bit more intrusive, but it's almost to the point of, like, I don't think Canada or the U.S. would ever do more than what they have, in which is, like, they have a the U.S. junior team, for example. They have a giant Chipotle sticker on the front of their helmet, and then they also have a Chipotle patch on each of their shoulders. And that's it. Now, like, do I think that's a lot? Is it intrusive? Yeah, but I think that is the most you could ever not even get away with, but what fans would kind of accept.
Just for the record, Canada, it does not have any ads on their World Junior uniforms.
I thought they did.
New.
And that's why I want them to win.
New.
they usually have stuff on, like, when they go to the World Championships and whatever, don't they?
They have been going without ads this tournament. They've been wearing their you know, their kind of stripped down.
Right. Well, they've retro. Is that only on the retro jersey then? Do they have it on the normal ones?
I think they've been wearing the retro jerseys all tournament. They have, at least in the games that I've seen.
Yeah, I know.
I just want to go back to the – because I think when we talked about this a while back when the NBA first started it, I said that they should, you know, make the colors match the uniforms. But you're right. There's no way that – like I know Harley Davidson sponsors the Bucks.
Yeah.
And there's no way that they're going to take that iconic logo and make it green and white. It's just not going to happen, you know. So – I guess my thing is if you got a cool logo, it's okay, but sometimes it just looks kind of stupid.
I again, my whole attitude is that, you know, it's never going to stay small and it's never just going to be non-intrusive, so might as well just fuck the whole thing.
Yeah, throw this up, Craig. This is what we're looking at here with this bullshit Chipotle thing. This is ridiculous. Like, this shouldn't be a thing.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's horrible.
Like,
oh,
what is this? Well, on the front of the helmet, and
that's the most that I think they're allowed to go.
I don't stuff. Know which I like less, the multi patches of those fucking sleeves. I don't know.
Yeah, those. I as far as I can tell, I think the U.S. is going to wear their throwbacks tonight, so they won't be looking like that. But
that's embarrassing.
Not a fan of current Nike hockey jersey design internationally, but
I'm not
like the current Canada Nike ones does. Look like the retro Canada ones look nice.
The retro Canada ones are nice, yeah. But like the U.S., Finland, I think Slovakia, they all have that weird winged like design, and it doesn't. It's not a good thing. It's been in the cycle since the last Olympics, and I'm sure that'll change ahead of the next Olympics. Oh. So.
Well, we're going to kick your ass, so...
I mean, probably, because as like a little sidebar, Canada has outscored all of its opponents in this tournament by a combined 41-4, and has yet to allow a goal at even strength.
Not only that, Canada's goalie, nice Jewish boy, so...
and I will say, though, that Canada scores a little inflated thanks to like a 16-0 win over Austria. And an 11-0 win over Switzerland. So
look, you play who they put in front of you.
I know. They didn't have to play the U.S. in the prelims like they normally do this year, so they got away with that. So we'll see.
Canada's riding the strength of the GTOV champion Mensch on the bench here, Mike.
Well, by the way, we've been misspeaking. They're not helmet ads. Greg, if you want to show what the actual word is here on the screen here, it's official helmet entitlement partner.
Okay, what the hell does that even mean?
Well, here, I don't know. It's on the, yeah, so.
Official helmet entitlement partner. Jesus.
Yeah, I think the Red Wings are the only ones that have called it that, right?
I have no idea. I think that's what the case, but it is kind of confusing how it's.
I could just see like 12-year-old me.
No, it's not. That's not Wisconsin Madison, by the way.
No, see that. Right. That's what I was thinking. Like,
yeah,
like
Gary brought that up earlier. I guess I know what he means now.
Like
United Wholesale Mortgage.
Like if I was like 12 years old and I saw that, I'd be like, are the Red Wings part of like University of Western Michigan? Like,
well, in when we talked about earlier about like the ads blending in with the jerseys, if you go to the mothership, they have a running list of teams that have announced theirs. And most of them are just like the two color versions that kind of blend in with the jersey or with the rest.
So we've got Scotiabank for the Flames.
The only one that's really bad is the PPG one on the Penguins because it's like way too.
The
big.
Blue Jackets have two. Oh, come
yeah,
on.
The Blue Jackets have one for home and road. So does Florida.
Okay, this one's pretty egregious. Dallas with the AT&T logo on the white helmets.
Right, but on the black helmets, it's the white all white. Yeah. So it's not. It doesn't stand out.
So Michigan, you know, just stole some university helmets. Oilers going with Rogers. Oh god.
Oh wow, those are way too big.
Most of these are the arena sponsors.
Panthers have two. Okay.
Yeah. No, sponsoring the Blue Jackets, Zach.
It's the road one is Nationwide and the home one is Ohio Health.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I just saw the Montreal Canadiens helmet with a big bell logo on the side, and I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but it's white on blue. It doesn't look...
It doesn't matter. It's the Montreal Canadiens. Like, the most sacred...
The best one out of all these, by the way, is the Capitals with a Capital One logo on their helmet.
There you go.
Nashville's got Bridgestone.
So here's the mothership page here. So which one did you want to look at? The Florida Panthers. That stupid Ford logo on there. There's your
that one would make that better if it was Carolina, like the home of NASCAR with a Ford logo.
No, come on, Ford. You can do better than the Florida Panthers.
Really?
Oh, and the Panthers, the Baptist Health one for the Panthers is practice helmets only.
I don't get what
okay. I threw up all over again because I see that the Leafs are going with Scotia, and the red Scotia logo on the white helmet makes me angry because in no fucking universe should the Toronto Maple Leafs have red on there.
The one of the Flames looks actually kind of cool. I feel disgusted saying that, but I mean, like, it's a neutral, it's a fairly like unrecognizable logo.
Yeah, you could think it's actually a hockey logo, like there's a puck in the middle.
On the majority of these, they're highly unintrusive.
See, I can't feel that way about the Flames one because I'm from Canada, so I grew up seeing that Scotiabank logo, so I know exactly what it is. Like,
the Red Wings look like it's like the University of Wisconsin, Michigan.
Yeah,
it's very clever that the Capitals got Capital One. That's mm-hmm. very.
Well, they do play at the Capital One Arena,
right? But it kind of blends in a little bit there.
Just be happy these aren't for like Joe Bob's Pizza and shit like that. That could be.
I'm still maintaining that. You know, between the four of us, if we pooled our funds, we could get the Coyotes helmet. The Coyotes helmet sponsor.
Well, like, Coyotes haven't announced one yet, so
we could have take Andy's the thing that he made with all of our little references in it and throw that on a helmet. That would be awesome, right?
The Arizona Coyotes brought to you by basically a sports show, and then
I'm in. $20
Yeah,
and for $80 $80 we could.
$80 probably get a home and road for $80.
Yeah, no. Okay, so if we bump it up to $160, we get to choose like two different logos, and I'm thinking for like the road ones, we throw like a Tostino's logo on there, I don't know. I'm not happy about any of this.
I just think that, like you, Mike, I believe that, and Andy said the same thing, that this is just the beginning. And I don't know that it'll ever go European hockey because I don't know if you can go worse than NASCAR in any other sport, but maybe.
Yeah. But, by the way, it was going to see more of this. It's chat. It's Mountain America Credit Union has already sponsored the Coyotes, so we lost out.
How much are they paying? We'll double it.
Right,
we'll double it. Can't be that much.
$100.
$129.95.
Right.
So we'll see how it goes. But again, you know, during a pandemic season with no fans and the NHL being so dependent on fan revenue, they got to do something.
Yeah. Hell, the AHL is only being propped up by basically whatever the NHL is going to do for it. And I think it was five or maybe four teams of the AHL are opting out for this season. So some teams are combining.
The East Coast Hockey League. Yeah, they're out.
ECL is doing that. I know some teams like the Ducks, their team's the San Diego Gulls. And because there's going to be no fans, there's no point in shipping them all the way down to San Diego. So they're just going to play their games at the Ducks practice facility so that, you know.
I think that's something, I'm sure that people have covered it, but the impact that this has had on minor league sports has just got to be brutal because you talk about being fan driven and attendance driven and all that. I mean, they all get corporate sponsorship too, but not anywhere near the amount of money that you get with the Big Four or with NASCAR and racing and stuff. So it's got to be just tough. And the Toledo Walleye just said, screw it, we're not even going to play this year. So 2021 off to a great start already, guys.
Have they announced the start for the baseball season yet? I don't think they have.
Breaking news.
Let's hear it.
Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith wins the Heisman Trophy.
Oh, right on.
Third wide receiver to win the Heisman and the first since Desmond Howard in 1991.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Speaking of that, my Ohio State Buckeyes put an ass whooping on Clemson.
They did. That was pretty impressive. I think the Jets are not going to be as mad about picking Justin Fields as they would have been a week or two ago.
Yeah.
Or hell, it depends if Urban Meyer becomes the coach of the Jaguars.
Why would he?
Well, Mike, you know the conversation is going to go like this. It's like, hey, we want you to come coach the Jaguars. Like, I wouldn't coach the Jaguars if you paid me $12 million. They'd be like, we'll give you $15 million. And he goes, okay, I'll be there in a couple hours.
Right.
But they've already said there's already been a private jet that flew from Ohio to Jacksonville that people were speculating is like, oh, there it is. There's Urban Meyer down in Jacksonville.
So Urban Meyer was at the Cotton Bowl? Where were they playing, Greg? The Peach Bowl.
The Buckeye. You mean where the Buckeyes were playing?
Yeah.
That was at the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, Sugar Bowl. That's right.
Why? I just don't understand why people would be so desirous of Urban Meyer coaching in the NFL. I feel like there's what's that?
Yeah. I was just going to ask. Does this ever work out? Does the
Jimmy Johnson?
Well, the Carroll Seahawks coach. Pete Carroll. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was pro coach before he went to USC.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
And I maintain that Saban could have been a good NFL coach if he didn't.
He was a great coordinator with the Browns for 1 year. Well,
literally the reason that he went back to college was he went to the pros, was at the Dolphins, was trying to recruit, Drew Brees.
Right.
And then when he lost him out, he said, oh, right, this isn't college where I can just get whatever I want all the time. I'm just going to go back. It's too hard. I'm going to go back.
But yeah, I mean, I can only think of like one guy that came up from a successful college program. And I think Jimmy Johnson, he wasn't out very long. I mean, Meyer's been gone for what, 2 or 3 years now? So
Bill O'Brien came from Penn State.
Yeah, the hell that work out?
That was like one of the weirdest things. When Bill O'Brien took over in Penn State, I mean, it's like I kind of figured, oh, whatever, Bill O'Brien, I don't know what the hell this is. But to suddenly get not only the head coaching job in Houston, but they basically made him GM too. It's like, how did they put
him in control of their franchise and let you know how that worked out. They missed the playoffs, and their number 3 draft pick is going to the Dolphins. So
that would be like putting us in charge of a radio empire.
Yeah.
There's this really sad video circulating today of J.J. Watt talking to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And J.J. Watt's like, I'm sorry, man. We wasted a year. We wasted one of your years. And it's just like, fuck me. Like that, because like the whole point of drafting a quarterback is to get, 4 to 5 years of control and not having to sell everything. Right. And take advantage of that rookie star contract and have everything work out. And basically, JJ's like, we fucked you over, man. Like, we blew it for you. Like, this, nothing's working out for them. But,
DeAndre Hopkins trade was really stupid, I thought. I mean,
come on. Like, that trade has got to be one of the dumbest, like, not just NFL history, like just pro sports. Like,
you know what? I think that signal to me is like, that's like, you get these coaches that are just like, I don't care how good you are, I don't like you. Mm-hmm. And that's what that felt like to me, was like that O'Brien didn't like Hopkins, and that was it.
Well, he compared him. Who did he compare him to? Fuck. Hernandez.
Really?
Aaron Hernandez.
Aaron Hernandez. Yeah, Bill O'Brien compared him to Aaron Hernandez, and it was. Wow. It's like, I don't think he's murdered anyone, so.
If I was Hopkins, I'd be telling him, you know what, shove that shit. I want out of here now, because Aaron Hernandez was a pretty terrible person.
And then he went to the Cardinals and had a pretty good season, all things considered, so.
Yeah.
It's Bill O'Brien, like, the Texans have been cratered. I don't know how long it's going to take them to get out of, that.
Yeah, we talked, I think it was last week, we talked about how a team, when they succeed with a new coach, whatever, they'll go, I think Zach brought it up. They'll say, well, you built, that was so-and-so's team that you won with. But I think when Bill O'Brien's case, when the Texans were good, I think that he had a lot, I think that was a team that was in place when he got there. Because we've seen what he's capable of since, and it's not been great. But back to the college coach thing, maybe some of the guys in the chat, I know Michael Walker's really good with this stuff, that successful college coaches that were specifically a college coach that moved up to the NFL and had success. Jimmy Johnson's the only one I can think of.
I mean, you could have said Jim Harbaugh before he went back to Michigan.
Yeah.
Because he was really good at Stanford and then got the Niners to that Super Bowl.
Yeah, newly extended.
Congratulations, Greg.
Thank you.
Ohio State fans rejoice.
Yeah, it's been a good week for us. They can do it there as long as they want, man. I'm fine
with
it.
How long do they extend them to? 2026?
2024?
Not long enough. You can give them five
not
more years.
Not long enough.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh should just be the coach there forever. Like,
I remember there was a thing going around. They were going to give him a lifetime contract, and I said, please, please do. By all means, give him that lifetime contract.
I'm looking back at the, 10 years ago for the Texans, man. You know, Matt Schaub in his prime, Arian Foster, Andre Johnson, Owen Daniels. They were good.
That's one of those teams where you look back and you're like, how did they not like win more than they did? Yeah.
Mario Williams, like this team. Yeah. I mean, they were. Did they make the playoffs? I assume they did.
They did.
I don't have their record.
They were good. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were like preseason Super Bowl favorite one of those years. I don't remember which year it was, but they were solid. Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a shame. I mean, they're still like a new franchise, I guess. But I mean, what the hell happened? Like. I mean, Bill O'Brien.
There you go.
Yeah, because they had talent. Barry, I don't count Barry Switzer. He did that with Jimmy Johnson's team, Mike.
Right. They all knew it, too.
Yeah, everybody knew.
So with the NFL draft, I've been, you know, it's one of those things where I don't really care for college football. I like it. I will totally watch it, but I have no, like, vested interest in anything happening. But when it comes to the draft, I love to, like, speculate in the first round and – What always happens is that inevitably I'll look at all these prospects and think I have a pretty good idea of who's going to go where. And then, like, within, I don't know, 2 months of the draft, every, like, premier quarterback that's even mediocre to average shoots up and is totally going to go in the top, like, 20. And it fucks everything up.
Yep.
And, like, as a Bears fan, this wounds me because the Bears are probably going to pick 20th. And by that point, all of the, like, agreeable quarterbacks will have totally been plundered. And taken, and this hurts my feelings. So stop that.
See what you could do to trade up to the get the Jets draft pick. Apparently, they're looking to move that pick.
Lamar Jackson was picked 32nd overall, right?
Sure, and Aaron Rodgers was picked 24th, and all this.
Aaron Rodgers was like a very specific example of it.
Tom Brady picked 199.
I'm not talking about those.
If Aaron Rodgers, well, I know you hate him, Andy, and I understand why, but when that draft was taking place, people were saying, we don't like his throwing motion, blah, 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 this and that. Can you imagine? You
know, well, just I remember that draft very specifically because that was the Bears drafted Cedric fucking Benson with like the third or fourth overall pick. But the late Cedric Benson, who died fairly recently. So Aaron Rodgers, though. It was speculated that he was going to be number one. It was basically between him and Alex Smith, and the 49ers were like hemming and hawing about who to choose. And they went with Alex Smith, and then, for whatever reason, Aaron Rodgers came up. But if you watch Aaron Rodgers, like I was watching some tape from when he was a Cal.
Oh, God, he was great at Cal.
It's amazing. Like, yeah.
Did he fall that?
I don't know.
He had a weird throwing motion. And if you watch
it, it's one of those things where
a couple quarterbacks, one or two quarterbacks get taken maybe ahead of where they should. And then everybody else is like, well, we already have one, so we don't need the quarterback. And then you slip.
We got Brett Favre, but fuck, we'll take this guy.
Yeah, well, Favre was on the back end.
Yeah, they needed to get serious about Favre's replacement.
I've seen that twice. I think that was first with Rodgers and Favre, and the second time I saw it was Manning and Andrew Luck, where you fell right out of one franchise quarterback into another.
Yeah. Well, apparently Brett Favre was a huge dick to him. So.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't a huge dick to him. He was like a medium to small dick to him.
Well, yes.
Wanted to be a huge dick, but you know, nature is what it is.
You couldn't help it.
And then, I don't know. And then the Packers drafted another quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers turned heel and became the MVP.
Well, the thing is, if you watch,
it's not like there were a bunch of nobodies that were picked ahead of Aaron Rodgers. By the way, like
Sure.
Because Alex Smith gets picked first overall, and that makes sense. He had an incredible Utah career. They had that upset.
I was never sold on him from the start, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, but he was good at the time. Back when we were still drafting running backs way too high with Ronnie Brown to the Dolphins, that Auburn team that had Ronnie Brown, Cadillac Williams.
Yeah, Brown had a pretty good career for him. Well, not great, but he was okay.
Your Browns with Braylon Edwards.
That was a horrible pick. We could have used Aaron Rodgers.
Who was the quarterback in 05? Who was the quarterback?
The Browns?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Probably seven or eight different guys.
Check the jersey. Check the quarterback jersey.
05, that would have been maybe the beginning of the Derek Anderson era.
The 05 Browns, your starting quarterback was Derek Anderson, Trent Dilfer, Charlie Fry.
Charlie Fry.
Oh, that's quite a list of QBs. Derek Anderson and Trent Dilfer.
Well, I think the problem was they were 4-12 in 04, and then they improved. Or no, because the 2005 draft would have been after the 04 season.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yeah.
So why the hell did they draft a quarter? What do you? Wow.
It's Charlie Fry.
Because I had Derek Anderson and Trent Dilfer. Come on.
Okay, here's what happened with that. All right. You had Ben Roethlisberger picked out of the MAC, who's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
Then you had Byron Leftwich out of Marshall, another MAC quarterback that was pretty good.
MAC?
The Browns go, well, hey, look what they did with Byron Leftwich, and basically they're the same quarterback. They're the same guy, same kind of playing style, same everything. And they go, well, let's see here. Here's Charlie Fry, 6'0", weighs 180 pounds, but he played in the MAC. Let's give him a go.
But they didn't draft him until the third round.
I know. Aaron Rodgers sitting right there.
Yeah. Anyway, I won't go through all of them, but
the Cleveland Browns. Other
guys that at least made a Pro Bowl, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Walker makes a good point. They should have stopped picking Michigan wide receivers because they took a bunch.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam Jones, Pac-Man Jones.
Good player. Lunatic. Who?
Antrell Roll.
He was a good player. Roll was with the Titans, right?
Cardinals. He won a Super – I think he was Super Bowl MVP, wasn't he, with the Cardinals? Or am I can't remember.
No, Cardinals never won a Super Bowl.
Or no. He was Bucks. Didn't he win a – no? Who the hell?
Oh, you're thinking of Dexter Jackson with the Bucks, I think.
Ah, whatever. Doesn't matter.
But Antrell Roll, didn't he play for the Titans? He was pretty good, if I remember right.
He was drafted by the Cardinals.
Okay. All right.
I don't know where he played the rest. Carlos Rogers.
From Michigan State.
Yep.
Right.
The Lions, when they picked their 700th wide receiver in the first round.
Speaking of picking wide receivers.
Mike Williams. DeMarcus Ware. Pretty damn good.
John Merriman. Yeah.
Pretty damn good. Jamal Brown. Not bad. Thomas Davis. Derek Johnson. And then a bunch of other guys before. Rogers was the second QB picked. It's not like another QB was picked over him and you'd be like, oh, man, we really wasted it with that. It's no. These other teams were just drafting for what they thought was their need.
Can you explain to me when you've got Trent Dilfer, Derek Anderson, and you're thinking about Charlie Fry, and
you don't take
Braylon Edwards over Aaron Rodgers. That's
the only thing I learned through all this is that a smart Cleveland Browns team in 2005 would have drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
At least some breaking news here, by the way, not a very pleasant breaking news. Dr. Dre has suffered a brain aneurysm.
Oh, no.
And he is in the hospital. So he's.
So 2021 picking right up from where 2021
left. I don't know why anybody's surprised by that. So many people are like, I can't wait for this year to be over. It's like, what do you think is going to change? What's going to happen?
It's last year we had the cosmic effects of so many crazy celebrity deaths and whatever. And now it's well, maybe that's all past us now. We can have a normal stretch where people only die of coronavirus for the rest of the year.
Well, that's it started with me, with Neil Peart from Rush dying, and then it just went straight down the tubes after that.
Kobe.
It's a Dr. Dre, huh?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing else to report. I mean, he's in the hospital. He's getting care and all that stuff, so who knows? He's 55 years old. I mean, he's not a spring chicken, but, I mean, hopefully nothing more comes of that. It's scary shit, though. Aneurysms scare the fuck out of me.
Oh, yeah. Especially a brain aneurysm. That can, 2021 did not. Oh, I thought Gary's making a joke, but he's not.
But speaking of brain damage, Aaron Rodgers has given me brain damage from years of watching him take his thunderous huge penis out and smash the Bears in the face with it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, if you watch his arm motion, even back in college, like the guy of the, I mean, I'll totally admit, he is the best quarterback I've ever seen play. There's no, like, take Tom Brady all you want. I will take Aaron Rodgers every time, because he not only has that thing where at the end of a game, if you give him 90 seconds, he will beat you every single time. Or at least he'll give you an opportunity to win, because he'll throw it in the end zone every single time. His arm is fucking incredible. And maybe it's just because he's God against the Bears and maybe mediocre to good against everyone else. But like when you watch him against the Bears, it's like something clicks in his brain where he goes, I fucking hate those guys. And he just lays pipe on them every time they play. And it's amazing to watch, but it's also
The thing that's kind of I don't know what the right word is, but kind of amazed me with Aaron Rodgers as his career's gone on is his level of I don't give a fuck has gone up like substantially every single year. Like watching him in interviews and stuff, he's kind of a jerk. Yeah. He just doesn't really care.
He'll turn Aaron Rodgers. There you go.
Yeah, look at the way he treats his own family. Like he doesn't give a shit about anybody except for maybe his linemen who he buys like jet skis and whatever. But like,
well, hey, if you're a quarterback, that's who you're going to suck up to.
Yeah, I just said my only complaint with Aaron Rodgers is this, and it's a very simple one, and I think most people will agree with me. When you've got Olivia Munn, you don't drop her to go out with Danica Patrick. It's just that simple. Yeah, you just don't do it.
Doesn't have any of them, right?
No, because you've achieved.
Well,
like,
I mean, weren't they just both beards at the end of the day?
Probably, but if you're looking for a girlfriend Super Bowl ring, Olivia Munn's it. That's it. You're really not going to do much better. And then with Danica Patrick, really? That's why I think you're right, Mike. I think they're totally beards completely.
Well, so with Aaron Rodgers, he's very cutlerian in terms of like got that like face, that stupid face that everyone hates. And but for whatever reason, he's good. That's the only difference. And but he's also, you know, in his advertisements, he's fairly, you know, affable and whatnot. But compared to a guy like Jared Goff, and Jared Goff has the personality of like a pretzel, where he just kind of just
I'm gonna say cantaloupe, but the point remains.
Yeah, I mean, watching him on Hard Knocks was brutal. Because the guy is so dim, just a low watt bulb. Yeah.
Which way does the sun set again?
I think you figured that one out.
Okay, well, that's good. That's a start. Man, with Aaron Rodgers, I'm a Packers fan, and I love having him. I don't dislike him, but, with the Browns, I loved Bernie Kosar. I loved Joe Montana. You know, I love watching these guys play. With Rodgers, it's like watching a surgeon. It's like, well, I don't know what the hell he's doing, but he's really, really good at it. And that's kind of the way I feel about Rodgers. I mean, I don't have a real emotional, like, Aaron Rodgers is my favorite player. I'm not like that with him. It's just like I appreciate him. Don't get me wrong, and I don't dislike him, but he's not in the pantheon of my like guys I just love watching play. Well, you know what I mean?
Who in the NFL? Like, if you look at like baseball, like Yadier Molina and the Cardinals, where like this fetishization of them from that fan base. I'm trying to think of in the NFL who now is. I mean, like Mike, obviously with Tom Brady, that's a very recent sort of thing. So, I mean, mm-hmm. you do what you got to do.
Look,
but I'm trying to think of.
Look, New World Order for life. All right.
Like, I'm trying to think of like if there's any player that's like going to be on that team for the rest of their career. Fans would never want them to go anywhere. I guess that's contrarian to how baseball versus football, you know. But it's. I don't know.
In the current NFL, right. That's kind of, you know,
Ravens fans don't want Lamar Jackson anywhere.
I was gonna say like kind of a new entry into here, but like depending on how well they do in the playoffs, like Josh Allen might be a made man in Buffalo for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. So Zach, Larry Fitzgerald is spot on. That's like exactly who you think.
Yep.
But with Josh Allen though, man, Josh Allen, it's one of those things to where if you go to a team and you not only do you win, but you embrace where you're at and like genuinely like it, then you will never pay for another meal again. You'll get 1,000 restaurants open in your likeness with your name and whatever.
Like Jim Kelly.
For sure. And I mean, you know, some of these smaller market teams or even, you know, even whatever, major market teams, if you just have the personality to own it and to just embrace the amazing just opportunities, then those towns will love you. In Buffalo especially. I mean, they're fucking weird in Buffalo. I mean, they'll like he could run out there and just like slash his legs and people would come up and drink the blood from him. Just, you know, just those people are fucked up out in Buffalo, man.
Yeah. Like, well, I brought up Bernie Kosar of the Browns, and he was a guy that there's a little documentary on YouTube. You can watch how he did this, but he gamed the NFL draft system because he wanted to play for the Browns. And so they did this thing called the supplemental draft where he graduated early, and the Browns, by some miraculous confluence of events, had the number one pick in the supplemental draft, and they gamed the system because Bernie wanted to play in Cleveland that badly. He came there, had a pretty good career, and that guy is a god in that town to this day because he embraced playing for the Browns, and he wanted to be there and all that. And to this day, they just love him to death. I mean,
if I may ask, then why does there seem to be like tension between him and the team?
That I don't know. I can't answer that. Well, I think it's because, first off, it's the new ownership, and they weren't – it was weird. They, like, embraced the history, but they didn't embrace the old players a whole lot. You know, it was a strange thing. But there is a tension between him and the organization. I don't know why, but the fans love him. They love him to pieces. It's just you won't hear anybody say a bad word about Bernie, except, like, Michael Walker says he had a weird arm motion, and it was weird. But if you ever watch highlights of this, you're like, how in the hell did this guy play in the NFL, first off? And secondly, how did he do it at a high level? But he did it. But, yeah, just to go to Andy's point, yeah, guys like that, they become heroes forever and always will be. It's weird. It's good, I guess, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody feels that way about Baker Mayfield, and he's trying his best, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to do in some of those smaller markets, but I think even in some of the bigger ones, like the way that, say, like the New York Giants treat Michael Strahan.
Right.
Right.
Lawrence Taylor.
I'm just thinking of, like, my teams. Like, I think Aaron Donald could probably be that way here.
Yeah.
Just because he's, I mean, like,
that dude's
unquestionably the best at that position that's ever – I've ever seen.
Like, he's amazing. He's really, really good.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, Baker Mayfield, I think what his advantage is that he's got really great charisma. Like, his personality really shines. Like, he's going to have a TV career for sure if he wants to pursue that. But,
manage to survive COVID, sure.
Sure. But Johnny Manziel, hey, former Browns quarterback, he's working again.
Oh, really?
I can't believe he's only 28. I feel like he's much older than that.
What's he doing?
So he's going to join the really unfortunate fan-controlled football thing.
Right. I saw that, yeah.
Oh, is that actually happening?
I guess. It's going to start in February. 7-on-7 games where fans set the rosters, call the plays, and interact in a blended
traditional. Oh, that'll be brilliant. I'm sure.
It looks like it's going to be fans run things always works well. Just ask us and our tournaments. You'll see it every time. Yeah, sorry, I didn't get one shot at it, you guys, this week. I'll leave you alone for the rest of the year.
No. It's okay. Yeah, the fans, they deserve it. This is for Jupiter. This is what they deserve. So, yeah, I mean, he's working. Good for him.
Yeah, well.
Who's he playing for? Because I saw the team names. They were awful.
Let me see. Let's see if they even.
I think they're the San Jose or the San Antonio, like, stripper poles or something like that.
The team names are just fucking terrible. Yeah, I don't know.
And those are and those were chosen by the fans too. Like, they put the names up for a vote.
I rest my case.
fan controlled football. Okay, so the fan controlled football league. Let's see.
Yeah,
you know it's a quality league when on the website there's a option that says be a player.
Hey, let's do that. We can't sponsor a helmet. We can play.
Johnny Manziel. Okay. God, like their stories on their front page go too fast. Okay, let's see. Teams. The
Glacier Boys with a Z.
Yeah, the Glacier Boys.
Mike, we got a team with a Z. That's something.
The Zappers.
Do they have a Z too?
Yes.
Like Zappers with a Z at the end and the beginning?
No. It's just a Z at the beginning.
Opportunity missed.
And then we got the Beasts. And the Wild Aces.
Aces high, baby.
Isn't the Beasts, isn't that like...
Oh, God. These are... Guess who co-owns the Glacier Boys?
No idea.
Richard Sherman.
Right. I remember he was involved with that. Yeah.
Yeah. See, Marshawn Lynch, that's why they're the beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marshawn Lynch, right. Yeah.
So essentially, then, this is a live Madden game, basically.
Johnny Football is playing for the Zappers.
They have to put a second Z in there. They just have to do it. You've got to do it.
Are these teams playing out of any like locale?
I don't know. I think they're apparently. What the fuck? It is way too difficult to find information about this crappy startup thing.
Okay, so according to Wikipedia, these teams aren't based out of like any.
No.
Wait, yeah. While we're doing this, I have a question for Gary. Who are you talking about? Forgot about the CHL. Me? I didn't forget. I was on the road, man. I couldn't do it. Anyway, back to the show.
So if the field is 50 yards, just 50 yards, and everything is filmed inside of a television studio.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, God.
So it's basically NFL Blitz in real life.
I guess. So once the games begin, fans will be able to vote on key roster decisions and choose plays as the armchair GM and coach from their like living rooms. Oh. How they're going to execute that, I don't know. I'm assuming some sort of app
poorly.
Or something.
Oh yeah, they're going to execute it poorly.
I think we talked about this when we talked about like the glut of spring football leagues that were coming up.
Yeah,
and this was clearly the one that's like this is the one too many. Like
this is the bottom of the barrel one.
We have to sacrifice our beloved AAF for this shit.
Well, we had the AAF, we had the XFL, we have this. The
XFL's coming back.
Remember the Patriot Football League that was supposed to start?
Yeah. Remember the UFL? That was a few years ago. Remember that one?
Right, but I'm talking about the ones that we were going to have like four going at once.
The Patriot Football League, I think, was the one where they were all like super American and like the team names were all super American and like no one's going to be kneeling for the national anthem.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Of all the things to worry about.
But, like, this is, I don't know. This could be good for, like, a clusterfuck or two. Like.
Oh, that's right up our alley, Mike.
I am going to, I don't think I'm going to care enough to watch this live.
I won't care enough to. Find where it is.
I was going to say mostly because I don't think any network I have is going to carry this. Yeah. But if like I could potentially see this whole like fan controlled thing becoming a huge clusterfuck, and then you know someone links you like, oh hey, check this out on YouTube, and then it's good for a laugh.
What would be great is if there were two people that were involved in it in their living room, and they get in a brawl. Because they can't decide on what play to call or what player to play, and it ends up in a big fight. I'd watch that.
Watch
controllers and fight each other. That would be funny.
Well, the nice thing is this isn't going to stop because there's always going to be somebody trying to punch out like that spring football ticket.
The Rock's going to give it a try in 2022. So
you know what gets me about this is they all seem to think that the USFL was way more successful than it actually was. I was there for the USFL. It was cool. It's kind of neat, but it wasn't. They act like, well, it was the USFL if they hadn't been for Donald Trump. I don't think so. I think even if they kept it the spring, it wasn't going to make it. Sorry. I loved it too. I thought, I liked the uniforms. The teams were fun. You know, the NFL was really cracking down on celebrations at the time. So the USFL's like, hey, go for it, have fun. But it wasn't this runaway success that people make it out to be. Even in that Small Potatoes documentary, they're like, oh, it was just this close. It really wasn't. It did okay, but it wasn't.
Now, didn't Donald Trump only buy into the USFL because the NFL didn't let him buy the Bills or something?
I forget which team he wanted to buy, but yeah, they were like, no, not this guy. And that was that. I think it would have been okay for a few more years, but I don't know that it would have stayed and still been around if he not had done that, because he wasn't the only one talking about moving to the fall. And the reason they were talking about moving to the fall wasn't because it was just like, hey, fuck the NFL. It's because the spring football thing wasn't working out as well as they thought it would. It's not to say it didn't do okay, but it wasn't this – everybody like romanticizes the USFL now like it was this great success, and it really kind of wasn't.
It really makes me wish we had a full season of the XFL to see how those numbers would have been over a whole year.
I mean, there is the argument to be made that coronavirus killed the XFL.
Yeah, oh, it totally did. It absolutely did.
Absolutely. I think the XFL had the right idea this time. But to go back to the USFL, they started with, I think it was 12 teams. And I mean, they expanded so fast in so many markets. And then you had the Arizona, I think, where they're called the Wranglers, and the Chicago Blitz, I believe, where they were called.
Yeah.
Traded entire rosters. And you had the Breakers that started out in Boston, went to New Orleans, ended up in Portland, all within the course of like two seasons. So it wasn't this stable, perfect spring league that everybody makes it out to be. That's all I'm saying.
And I will say that from what I can tell, the Tampa Bay Bandits had a pretty cool look.
It was Ohio State's old uniforms with the logo on the helmet. But the Bandits were the model franchise in that league. And it was a guy, I think his name was John Bassett, really good owner, had the right idea, and had they followed his plan, which was like, let's keep our costs low, et cetera, we'll be okay. And had everybody followed that, they might have succeeded. But what happened was teams would go, well, wait, we can get Herschel Walker? Wait, we can get, you know, Doug Flutie? We can get these big names? And all of a sudden, they were dumping all these their money, like their salary money, into one player. You know, long story short, it wasn't the runaway success that it's been romanticized to be 40 years later. It wasn't.
Like, the thing that I mostly remember the Tampa Bay Bandits from was that when the XFL 2.0 – they were doing their logo unveilings, and like they teased a bunch of them before the official unveilings. And one of them you could see was just like kind of like a cowboy with like a bandana.
Yeah.
And like the thing that people were going on, it's like, oh, are they going to like revive the Tampa Bay Bandits? Because, you know, they had announced they had a team in Tampa. And I was kind of looking forward to that because it's like, oh, yeah, look, Tampa Bay Bandits, USFL. Those are a pretty cool. That's a pretty cool look. I wouldn't mind an updated version of that. And then they revealed everything, and it's like, oh, it's the Vipers, and we're like lime green and neon green and yellow. Oh, fantastic. Which, by the way, to repeat a story that I'm pretty sure I've told on the show, one of the Vipers games that I went to, the two guys behind me, they were talking about the uniforms, actually, and one guy goes, yeah, I like them. They remind me of the Packers.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was blind, apparently. Just, so, hey, Stevie Wonder.
So just to give you an idea of the dominance of football, and we can probably start to wrap things up, I guess, but the NFL, for 2020, the most watched broadcast, the NFL, the top 100 had 69 of those slots. And the next thing, baseball, was 114. And they were four spots better than the National Dog Show.
Whoa, way to go, baseball. You beat out a dog show.
Yeah. College football playoff national championship was 18th. Rose Bowl was 66. 66. Yeah, Bowl was 96.
So. The college football playoff this year, I guess, didn't do very well in the ratings. I mean, well, relatively. It was not what they'd hoped.
Well,
but, you know, it's the same damn teams. I mean, who cares at this point?
Yeah, the season was such a mess, and the teams were whatever, and the games themselves, like the Ohio State game was good, I guess, but like, I don't know. Like, Greg, do you think Ohio State could beat Alabama? Because nope. I don't.
No. I think.
I thought we had moved past the Alabama dominance.
Not yet.
No, we're back to it. Like, this year, they're just such a efficient machine that it's.
So they bitch slapped Notre Dame, huh?
Yes.
Oh yeah, crap out of them. Yeah.
Yeah, and
it's funny when the teams are everyone's complaining. Oh, the Notre Dame shouldn't have been number four. They should have let Texas A&M in, and maybe they won't let Ohio State in. It's like, well, what does it matter do you really want to fight over who has the right to get bitch slapped by Alabama?
Yeah.
By 50 points, like, who cares?
No, I don't think Ohio State. It would take a game like they played in 2014 where they just got on them and just stayed on top of them. But I don't like their chances. I think this Alabama team is way better than the one they beat in 2014.
They dominate the line of scrimmage, and their quarterback's kind of a nothing, but he is efficient and, you know, gets the ball exactly where it needs to go. And
you know who you want to know who receiver. You want to know who Ohio State needs at this moment?
Who?
They need the next Dwayne Haskins.
The next who?
The next Dwayne Haskins.
They have it. They have it. Just do it.
Man, I'm looking at some USFL helmets. They have some pretty bitching helmets, man. There's a few teams.
What was it? The Michigan Panthers have
The Michigan Panthers had a kick-ass helmet.
Great color scheme, too. Great color
scheme. Boston Breakers was unique. Yep. Jacksonville Bulls was kind of cool.
Yeah, they had a good color scheme, too. I like the Houston Gamblers. It was kind of cool with the G, with the Texas thing and the – I think it was like with the Texas map cut out of it. San Antonio Gunslingers had a cool logo, if I remember right. Some of them had pretty lame. It was like the Arizona Wranglers. That was pretty weak.
Yeah, the New Jersey Generals looks fucking boring.
Oh, the Oakland Invaders are pretty cool. A little comic booky, but pretty cool nonetheless.
They,
a lot of these teams, like the Invaders merged with somebody. I don't remember who, but just to, you know, wrap it up with the USFL, it wasn't this romantic success story that everybody makes it out to be. It was pretty cool, but it had problems from the get-go.
I mean, how can you not love a team whose media guide is this? I just sent it to the Skype chat because I don't know how to put photos up on this thing.
We're just sending it to the Skype's closed, bud.
Wow.
So put it in the private chat and we'll fire it up.
All right, let me.
I'm pulling it up here. Okay, so it's like Smoking the Bandit or something.
Yeah.
You got it, Andy?
Yeah, I'll get it a second here. So, what I'm thinking, Greg, is you should put the USFL in the GTOV and just see how it does. Just to let the people fail you once again. All right, so there's the image there.
Look at that. That's brilliant.
Yeah, he's a part owner in the team. But if you look, the striping pattern on the helmet, Ohio State. Sleeve stripes, Ohio State. Pants, Ohio State. They were the Buckeyes with the logo, basically.
You know what? God, and look at that. That's just a goddamn football uniform. You know, like that's glorious. Just got
they were the model franchise. They were the ones that did it the way that the original USFL business plan was supposed to run. It was like they did it. And then, you know, you had we can sign Jim Kelly for the Houston Gamblers and take him away from the NFL. And long story short, they were never wanted to get into a bidding war with the NFL. And then a bunch of teams said, fuck it, we're getting into a bidding war with the NFL. And that was the beginning of the end. It wasn't the move to the fall. That was just the final nail. So there you go. That's it. And you can watch Small Potatoes and they'll make it seem like it was all Donald Trump's fault. It wasn't. It was a lot of things. He was just the guy that was like there ringing the bell at the end going, fuck it, let's just, you know, throw everything into the wind and see what happens. Then that's that.
Yeah. Do we want to...
Incidentally, how his presidency is probably going to end, so...
Very, very similar, actually.
what's that, Zach? Go ahead.
Was he ever caught on tape trying to... never mind.
You know, the Generals lose a game. He's trying to get more points after the fact.
We just need to find... 12 points.
12 points.
Look, they recalculated the points.
Here's my thing on that. If you're going to claim that an election was rigged against you, probably the last thing you want to do is get on the phone and go, hey, we need 11,000 votes.
The last thing you want to do is have a recording of you coming out trying to rig the election?
Uh-huh.
No, but he's not rigging it because he won the state. He said it.
I love how he keeps saying it's like we all know that we want that we won the state, and like the Georgia officials are like,
well, if you won the state, then why do you need to find 11,000 votes?
Because the ones that because those votes exist, they just need to find them to put them back into the counts.
I am so, you know what? Here's my hope with all the, because I'm so fucking tired of all of it. I am. It's just like, you know what? Everybody just needs to shut up, but. Here's what – I just hope we can get through tomorrow without a fucking civil war breaking out. If we can do that, we'll be okay, I think. Because it's going to – I don't know what's going to happen in D.C. tomorrow, but it ain't looking good. We'll see.
I don't know. I don't
– I do believe he will leave office on January 20th. I think that
– He'll have to.
Yeah, he won't have a choice. But he'll have to. Even like Bill Maher and Keith Olbermann, like he won't leave and it's going to be a coup. It's like, no, it's not.
Well, like the thing about it, as it has been, you know, explained, is that like whatever happened, like they can't alter the number of electoral votes. Like it's impossible because like the Republicans can raise issues and they can say we, you know, want to debate these. But then in order to exclude a set of electors from the count, they need both houses of Congress to agree to it, and the Democrats control the House. So
I hate to break it to everybody, but the challenging an electoral vote is nothing new.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
There's specific, like, there's 2-hour time limits on discussion, mm-hmm. and then there's a vote, and then it's over. Like,
this whole thing with look, you know, whatever the election, whatever. Everybody's talking about everything except what actually – and there were some things that you go, well, okay, that didn't look so great. But no one's talking about why this happened. And it had nothing to do with conspiracies or somebody trying to do this to screw that. No one's talking about this. And I think this is the simple – Occam's razor in action right here. What was different about this election? It happened during a pandemic, and all the old people that normally work the polls weren't there. So you had a bunch of fucking morons that had never done this before across the country. So, yeah, some things are going to get messed up. So that's what happened. Big deal. You know, it was legit. I think it was. I don't think there was anything that – I mean, I hope not. Not because of who wins or loses, because that's bad for America if there were all these wild conspiracy theories. Well, I don't want that for either side because that's not the way we do things. But enough with this already. You know, it's done. Let's just move forward and try not to kill each other tomorrow. That's where I feel.
It'll be officially done tomorrow, and then it'll be officially done in 2 weeks.
Well, after tomorrow, we've got 2 weeks of guessing, like, is he actually going to leave the White House or not, which I'm 95% sure he will, but yeah, I'm 5% sure he's going to barricade himself into some Proud Boys, and that'll be
– Nah, he won't be there.
I don't think the Proud Boys is going to be much of a match for the United States military, but okay.
See, here's the thing. You're absolutely right about that, Greg. I just don't know if Donald Trump and the Proud Boys are aware of that.
Well, here's the thing. He doesn't actually like living there. Right?
Yeah. he doesn't like living there. He doesn't even like being president, yet he still wants to be president.
You'll be pulled up in Mar-a-Lago by the end of the week, and you know it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I think that everybody was shooting for January 1st. Mm-hmm. I think the key date here is January 21st. That's where we need to get to before we can start finally going, okay. Maybe. Yeah, I'm not taking a side, Biden, Trump, or whatever, the other. I'm just saying, look, we need to just calm the fuck down. So if you're a Republican out there, I'm not knocking your guy. If you're a Democrat, I'm not knocking your guy. I'm just saying that we need to get past this. Our Constitution's got to hold, and we got to get past this, and we got to start digging our way out.
I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what sort of, I'm sure, upstanding individuals are going to show up in D.C. tomorrow. That'll be fun.
It's going to be a shit show on both sides, believe me.
Yeah, I've seen some of the video of, like, there was a extremist, not extremist, but like...
Oh, my God. Before we... go ahead, Zach.
...rally today where there's just some real nut jobs going up to this microphone. I'm like, just saying stuff that's like... there was a woman that went up there like, no, Miss Teacher, my children will bring their own pencils because we're capitalists and we don't need state-provided pencils. We have our own. It's like
that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in politics, and I wanna preface this by saying I've heard some dumb shit, and that right there is the
that is really saying something.
Yeah,
I spent the night in Savannah, Georgia on. Mm-hmm. Sunday.
Oh, did you catch the advertising?
Oh my God.
Literally every single game,
it would be like Raphael Warnock is the greatest thing that ever came down the pike. And the next thing would be that fucker kills puppies and kittens just for fun. And then the next thing would be John Ossoff is a horrible human being. And the next one would be, but David Perdue's even worse. It was just that it was like just 4 minutes of this every single break. I was like, oh my God, I wouldn't vote for any of these people. It was funny because like one, you know, because they couldn't find a way to like not have them just bump up against each other. Right. So one would be like Warnock is, you know, he's doing all these wonderful things. The next would be like, yeah, when he's not out like, you know, raping children and killing animals for fun. It's just like, fuck, man. It was really kind of funny to watch. But yeah, I got to actually experience a little bit of it. I was like, oh, Lord, this is a disaster. Yeah.
Well, in the same vein of raping children and killing animals for fun, the NFL playoffs.
We forgot to do spin the wheel, make the deal.
Well, do we want to do spin the wheel or do we want to just pick them all?
I was going to say, let's just do predictions. I feel like that's good enough.
Then we'll wrap this bad boy up.
All right. Let's start Saturday. Let's start with the traditional Texans Bowl.
Okay.
Colts at Bills, 11-5, 7-seed Colts versus the number 2-seed AFC East champion, Buffalo, Bills.
Colts fans, I love you. I understand what it's like to have Phillip Rivers as the quarter as your quarterback, and I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
In when it comes to Phillip Rivers in the playoffs, it's feast or famine. And look, man, this Bills team's good, and I love you, Phil, but it ain't happening. Bills.
I have a question. Do we think the Bills are as good as they look?
Yeah.
Like, because I think they're pretty good. I'm going with the Bills.
The defense is really good. I'm not as sold on Josh Allen as everybody else, but I mean the numbers don't lie; they're there. So
here's a question on Josh Allen. We were talking about him earlier because that's another guy that could have had the Browns could have had instead of Baker Mayfield. But straight up, right now, would you make a trade if you were the Bills called and said we'll give you Josh Allen for Baker Mayfield? Straight up, would you do it?
Yes,
I would. I'd be like, okay, bring him on in.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bills in that one. I think that the Colts
how do I feel about the Bills? I was pessimistic about them, and they proved me wrong this season. I think they're the real deal. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to have fans, only like 6,000, but they're going to have fans at the game. That'll help. And they're going to be tough. I take the Bills. Andy?
Yeah, Bills. No, Colts are just too wildly inconsistent. Pretty good defense, but the Bills are ready. It's their time to make a run of sorts, and the Colts are just kind of they're making a cameo. Yeah,
Colts are very good in the first half of all. Their
look, look, it's going to come down to a point where Phillip Rivers needs to make a key pass in the fourth quarter, and we all know how that's going to end.
Yeah, I totally understand why this is the first game of the day, and I'm going to go Bills. I think a lot of people are trying to trump up the Bills as the lone possible challengers to the Chiefs. I don't know about that, but if they're going to do that, they need to put it in a present day.
I put it this way. If we get Andy's Blizzard game in Kansas City, I like the Bills' chances if they make it that far.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
It would have to be in Kansas City.
Yeah, it has to be in Kansas City. But, yeah, if you can get a snow game or a bad weather game where that defense can get after Mahomes, they got a shot.
Well, if the Bills circle the wagons hard enough, they can maybe bring a northeastern weather pattern down to Kansas City. Yeah.
Next one, the
boys. Go ahead, Zach.
10-6, 6-seed Los Angeles Rams of Los Angeles at the NFC West champion Seattle Seahawks. They split their games this year, and I don't know who's going to be quarterback for the Rams on Saturday.
I'm going for the Rams for two reasons. One. Okay. Got to rock that AAF power. Yeah. Two, fuck Russell Wilson. So go Rams.